So doors open at 6:30 for the pre-show event, and we have a cafe, like a traditional Egyptian style cafe, and some Egyptian traditional style things to be able to order from there, as well as a bit of a show with people, hopefully Egyptian people, wearing traditional Egyptian clothes from the early 1900s, playing the traditional games that they used to play back then, including a form of backgammon and dominoes. People will be able to also dress up and take some photos there for their socials and to, you know, celebrate being part of present at the show, as well as a gallery that we're hoping to be able to show certain photos from what the Australian soldiers would have been able to see, you know, whether they were there themselves, some of the postcards that have been sent back from the war during that time, and some of the other memorabilia that some of the RSLs have been able to contribute kindly. There's also a collection being and pins being sold for the RSLs, because one of the things that we want to do is make sure that there's a non-profit part of it, what we're doing. It's not just a show, it's a project, as well as the Invictus Australia, to collect for the mental health and work that is being done to help servicemen and women who have come back and are struggling with mental health. So they're some of the pre-show events that will be available at after and post the show as well, post the performance. The whole play takes place in there, but we're getting transported to different locations through the radio that Roger's voice provides for us. We're getting taken all the way through to the Dardanelles Straits and to Gallipoli and to hear the landing, you know, all those amazing things that are going to be taking place alongside, you know, outside the tent that we're going to be taking to through Roger's voice, Australian radio broadcaster.
Oh, right.
Right. That's awesome.
Can I ask you how you got this production to work with Mo being the director online? How did that all work for you guys?
It wasn't easy, and it's still not. You hear us sometimes, as all Zoom calls have been, and we've all been through it during COVID, sometimes talking over each other. But and it has been a bit testy at times, so just making sure that we're all getting and hearing and understanding what we want from each other. But it's worked. It's I think we've come out with something that's very beautiful, very unique, and very exciting. We can't wait for audiences to see it.
Lovely.
Mo, what was the experience like for you? Did you have a computer up watching what people were doing? And then how did you do it?
Yeah, I'm using my laptop here, and it was really testing for the first 2 weeks because I could hardly see or hear anyone. They could see me on this huge screen, and I could hardly see them. And I'm just like looking in the camera and trying to find out what's going on. So it was a bit nerve wracking for everyone, but it was interesting. Mo organized it all, and the actors have been so supportive and patient and amazing. And Mo's done all the hard work. I'm just here on my little laptop.
No, it's been a great effort.
Sure. Looking at this amazing guy making it all happen. Microphones and speakers and all sorts of stuff going on, and he's doing it all on his own, so it's just amazing. And the actors, of course, Celine Chord, amazing actress, producer, director herself, Willem Whitfield, just come from Queensland recently, he's also on board, so it's amazing working with these guys, an amazing group. And obviously we had the first initial readings of Roger Ward, who was going to play the Sydney run, but we're lucky enough to have him for the radio announcement for the Melbourne run.
So tell me, this is a big exploration into the Anzac myth, but from a different perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. When I started the idea, I started workshopping it with John Orsic, writer of Prisoner, and he used to be with Crawford Productions in the 70s and 80s. He was also in Peterson, the Jack Thompson movie. And he initially said, every story is an untold story. So anything you can find any untold element in any story. And my initial idea was when I lived in the Middle East for so long, up the last 10 years, I've realized that there was a friendliness between the Egyptians and the Australians. And I wanted to find out more about that. And when I started doing the research, I found that they were on the same side in the Great War, in World War I, so Gallipoli. So why was there a lot of misconception about Egypt being the enemy? Because I was called an enemy 15 years ago when I was studying opera and drama in London by a New Zealander, funny enough. That was the seed of the story for me. So it's a really harmonious story about friendliness between the Middle East and Australia.
So Willem, what was it like for you to play this leading character?
It's been very interesting so far, because I kind of dove into it not knowing much about the production or knowing much about the history around it other than what I learned during high school. So it's been a very interesting process researching Egypt and Australia's participation in the war. And the more interesting part for me, because the character is a journalist, is the inclusion of journalists in the war, because they weren't soldiers. They were an outside eye that kind of saw what was going on and were able to report on that back to their home country for the first time in history, as I understand.
And so, what about you, Celine? What, how did you get roped into this?
Honestly, I feel very blessed to be a part of this project. I was obviously born in Australia, but my ancestry and my heritage is Middle Eastern. So I'm originally Lebanese. My husband is Egyptian. And so to be able to tell a story that shines a light and essentially, I think, builds a bridge between my two cultural identities is something that is really significant. So when the opportunity came knocking on my door, I was essentially recommended by a friend of Mo Masri's. I couldn't help but say yes to the opportunity because any story that I get the opportunity in telling that is a representation of both my cultural identities, I think is a uniquely remarkable experience, and that's what really drew me to the project initially.
So, what did you find surprising? What were the things that you found surprising about the script? What did you learn?
Well, I think in terms of the history of Egypt and the Anzacs in the Middle East, that wasn't something that was new to me. But I think the intricacies of the characters and the way that they're written, and even the way that the story is written, I found to be really captivating and really interesting, especially because my character is a really strong, empowered Middle Eastern woman, which goes against the grain of everything that I guess the media tells us that these women were oppressed, uneducated, without dreams or aspirations. And so this character really goes against the grain of everything that we're colloquially taught that the old Middle Eastern woman was.
And Willem, what did you discover that you were surprised about in this story?
Really, the most interesting part for me is learning about how journalists existed in the war and that kind of outside perspective, because they didn't have to go through the military training. They were just employed by the newspaper they were writing for and just sent pretty much to the front lines, which is must have been a terrifying experience for most of them. And I keep reading incredible stories about their discoveries when they went out there because they were not prepared for what they found.
What about you, Roger? Your position as the binding voice. What do you take from doing this role?
Well, I'm interested in being in the thing in any capacity, really. It's quite an interesting play, as they both said. I did admire from the very start. I saw it just told on on Facebook, actually. Mo had advertised for actors, and I just passed it off because I thought, I wouldn't have time anyway. And then he approached me a couple of days later, just out of the blue, and I thought, well, that's a symbol. So anyway, but bookings came in and just made it impossible for me to, but I was pleased when I could get involved because I didn't even look at the narrator before, like the radio guy. I didn't look at him at all. I just read the character that I was thinking of playing. Then when Mo came up with that, I grabbed the idea. I thought it was a great idea. And then when I read that character, when I did the lines for that character, I realized, oh my God, I didn't know that about Gallipoli. Those things that you don't hear about. You don't hear about the back room story. What? They're telling us these ships are being torpedoed and bombed. Thousands of people are dying on the beach. Being spoken about at that particular moment on radio, and you don't think about that when you're thinking about Gallipoli or Anzac Day. You know it's a disaster, but you don't know what sort of a disaster. This has sort of brought it to the fore, which is very interesting.
Masri, what attracted you to this project? Tell me about your journey with this project.
It's been an amazing experience. I feel like life has been leading me up to this moment in a way, because back in 2018, without realizing, I had the opportunity to be in Turkey and for the Anzac Day commemorations, and was able to take part and be on the Anzac Cove to attend the dawn service. So that was a very moving experience. And then I've always traditionally been in community service and in business kind of roams, but have been leaning towards the arts more and more recently over the, I guess, since 2009. And I think Hamilton was the thing that really took me there more than anything else. So fell in love with that and was just waiting on the edge of my seat when, you know, every song was released and then the play was released and thinking of going to New York and all the rest of it. So, you know, when this opportunity came up and Mo, who I'd befriended while I was living in Egypt as well, I had the opportunity to find out, like, you know, he's needing some support here on the Australian side to be able to bring this to life. I jumped at the chance and was very, very humbled and privileged to be able to facilitate his amazing ideas and bring them all to life and help put the team together and scrappy, you know, kind of work to do what I can to prove myself worthy of this opportunity, and loved every moment of it, really. Done a lot of research about, you know, amazing characters that are in our history. You know, growing up in Australia, again, we were all raised with the Anzac legacy and history and connecting with different services that we've attended. But to see the Egyptian component of it, which I'd never really discovered or understood about, again, being raised and born here, even though I had Egyptian parents, I'd not known so much about my Egyptian heritage. And so when I did the research for this and tried to contribute and make sure that we're value adding to this, I found out so many amazing things. Like, you know, back in the 1800s, you know, towards the end of the 1800s, women in Egypt were, you know, there was a big lobbying for women to be educated and being able to attend schools and universities. You know, in the early 1920s, I think it was, that women had their, you know, women's rights, you know, were enforced and enshrined and set up, so that, you know, that's, I think, almost 30 years before they were set up in the West and, you know, the movements took place in the West. So it's amazing that all these things happened. And then on the Australian side, hearing about amazing reporters like Charles Bean that beat out Murdoch and was able to be the first reporter to go out to the war, and, you know, the amazing work that he'd done, and it only had to be him. You know, if it was anyone else besides him, we wouldn't have had the Australian war memorials. We wouldn't have had the amazing books that he's written to document what happened in the war and every step of the, you know, the stage of, in different parts of the war. And so we really tried to draw from all those amazing characters that existed, you know, and 109 years ago, to be able to bring those to life. And then added on top of that an education component. Again, I come from a community service background. I don't look at it as just a play. It's a project that we want to tour around Australia, take to all different places, including rural towns, to honour the soldiers that were lost, the young, brave Australian soldiers that we've lost. So we do want to take it to their hometowns to be able to, you know, make sure that we pay homage to them and keep their stories alive in the young audiences from different schools that are able to attend. So we've put packages around that that focus along sides of the history, as well as focusing on the education of Australian reporters and reporters in general in wartime and, you know, media and in wars. And also the third component that we focused on in the education packs is the importance of PTSD and mental health. And, you know, that's why we partnered with Invictus Australia, because, you know, there's a lot of soldiers and a lot of ex-service people who are coming back, and still till today, you know, a high rate of suicide amongst the defense forces, you know. And it started all back then with modern warfare and shell shock is what it was known back then. So you see towards the end of our play, you know, as you know, the proverbial hits the fan as they land on the beaches, that you see that it's quite a really, you know, Rogers articulated it very well in how moving it is and how dramatic it is, that, you know, it's not what they were expecting. No one expected to go through what they went through. And for anyone who's been and had the opportunity to go to Anzac Cove itself and visit the actual sites that, you know, things took place and it all went down on, you cannot be moved. You cannot but be moved from what happened. It was just, you know, even if you watch the movies, it's just, how could it have happened? How, you know? So and you hear, like, even hearing some of the stories from people here locally, like when I go to the RSLs, I hear people telling me about their parents and their grandparents and their uncles who've come back from the war, and you just see them, you know who went to the war. You know, when a car engine backfires and you just see them duck, or you just see them being so quiet and withdrawn, you know, that all these people that have just come back, you know, it's a heavy toll that they paid for this country. And it's unfortunate that we can't get more young people involved and interested in history, can't get people to volunteer at RSLs, can't get people to, you know, be interested in, and this is not a bigger part of their Australian stories' lives, you know, that it was so amazing what these people put paid for us to be able to be where we are today.
Yeah, can I just add a little important element about the Middle East story? There are many Muslims, obviously, in the Middle East, but there's a huge Christian community that's been here for thousands of years. So we can't forget that. So when we talk about Arabs, we usually think about Muslims, but they're obviously a huge Christian community all over the Middle East. Some come from a Phoenician background, and in Egypt, they were actually the origins of Egypt before the Muslims actually came in. And I think it was year 1000 when the Muslims came in to Egypt. So there's a huge Christian population when it comes to the Middle East. So there's a lot of misconception there. So I wanted to clear that up also.
And are you happy with the results, Mohammed?
Definitely. You know, I've got some amazing actors on board, and obviously Mo support. Like I said, again, patience and willingness to continue with all the stress and pressure. Because I'm not sleeping. I'm staying up all night trying to adjust with time difference. So the acting's superb. So, look, Celine is just an absolute marvel on stage. She comes out and eats the stage alive. Amazing. You know, I hardly direct Celine. She does it all herself. Willem gets on stage also and just does it all so natural. Yeah, just so eloquent in what he does. I can't believe it's going ahead.
So, Masri, how do people get tickets for this wonderful performance?
So we've put a bit short codes for the websites to make it easy for people to sign up. So all they need to go is to go to our Try Booking page, which they can search certainly Gallipoli, A Story Untold, and they'll see the Try Booking page come up. Otherwise, they can go to our short link, which is bit.ly/G-ASU, as in G for Gallipoli - A Story Untold, ASU.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to do so, Annie.